Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
The word of God.
Are you happy to be in the presence of the Lord?
As well, because I believe that God has something delighted for each one of us. So prepare yourself.
Even to have the opportunity to come to the house of the Lord.
Get your pen and a paper.
This house is called the house of the Lord. Amen.
Welcome
and I rejoice every time I come in this house to pray, to seek his face, and also to fellowship with one another. The Lord has something good. He has something special for each one of us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to bring a message this morning that I entitled Understanding Spiritual Discernment. Can somebody say Understanding Spiritual Discernment? I believe you can say a little bit louder. Can you say a little bit louder? Understanding Spiritual Discernment. Praise the Lord. I've realized that even as we sojourn and as we tarry and as we wait upon the Lord in these last days, there's bound to be so many things that are going to happen in our midst. And there are things that are flying out, especially in the social media, people calling them Jesus, people calling them the Messiah. There are people who are going to call themselves the Antichrist. And you're going to see people just putting on the symbol of 666. And in the midst of all these things, I felt that it would be important for us to understand what it means to have spiritual discernment. Amen? There's so many things in this world that we can do by the ability that the Lord has placed in our hands. That's why God gave you a mind. He gave you intellect and he gave you wisdom in order to make judgment concerning things that that pertain you and your family. Now, there are things that we'll be able to do. However, there are things in our lives that would have to depend on a higher power. Amen? In order to accomplish them. There are things that you don't need even to think about. Like, for example, when you come out of your house, you're going to work, you definitely know where you're supposed to go to work, right? And, if you're coming out from work and you're going home, you don't even need discernment to go home. You already know where your home is. Praise the Lord. You don't need any discernment to know the name of your children if you have some. You don't even need any discernment to know the names of your relatives, for some of those relatives that you know. You don't need discernment to do so many things. And we thank God, because if we would need discernment in everything that we encounter in this life, then it will be so challenging even to do the little things that we have here on earth. Amen? And God expects us to trust him even in those little things. You know, committing our ways unto the Lord. The Bible says that we commit our ways unto the Lord. However, there are certain things that you will need discernment even as you sojourn in the Lord. Amen? Because we don't know how the future is going to be. God has not given us the capability. I know there are some people who can pray and the Lord shows you in a dream or in a vision how your future is going to end up. But in most cases, we don't know how tomorrow is going to wake up. Amen? You don't know how your plans are going to fare up, you know, in the coming months. And so it's very, very important for us to get hooked up with God and to understand that and to commit our ways unto the Lord, that he may see and prepare our future for us, that he may lead us even as we sojourn along the way, to give us confidence that our future is in the hands of the Lord. Amen? Amen. For example, when you want to get married, you know, that is the stage in life for some of us. You know, when we wanted to get married, you know, you don't just get into a pool, you know, of women. Or if you're a woman, you don't get into a pool of men and just pick up a man just like that. You would need discernment, because this is a person who is going to live with you the rest of your life. Amen? So I need to understand certain things when I meet this beautiful woman that comes to me. Lord, I'll inquire. Lord, I am looking at her and I'm seeing the beauty and I'm seeing everything that I would love in a woman. But Lord, I don't know how in the days to come how things are going to end up. I'm looking at this man and I see the hairline and I see everything about him and I'm attracted to him. But Lord, please show me how the future is going to end up with this man. Is he going to be a wife abuser when we get on in life? I need your discernment. Show me the way. Amen? There are certain things that you definitely need discernment in our lives. And in this topic, we are going to explore what is discernment. Praise the Lord. We are also going to explore why we need discernment. And finally, we are gonna find out in the Word of God how we can gain discernment in the Word of the Lord. Are we all together? Praise the Lord. Now, I want to begin by asking ourselves, what is discernment? If somebody came and asked you, what is discernment? What are you going to answer? What is going to be your answer? Praise the Lord. Now, I looked up the word discernment in the English dictionary, and this is what the English dictionary says. It is the ability to judge well. Somebody say with me, the ability to judge well. Yes, it is the ability to judge well. And as I was researching about, you know, discernment, I also found out that discernment is the ability to comprehend and to grasp that which is obscure. It is the ability to comprehend and to grasp that which is obscure. And you know what is obscurity? Obscurity is something that is not really clear. You know, this is kind of like when you're looking at it, you are not able to tell whether this is what this thing is really about. You know, you can come into a situation and you really want to understand something about a career. For example, if you're pursuing the career in nursing, you don't know anything about it. You've heard about talking about the career in nursing, but it is obscure. You are in obscurity if you don't know anything about it, and you need to either Google and research and talk to people and have divine connections so that they can tell you about this career that you're just about to engage in. You know, there are certain things that are in obscurity. And so it is the ability to comprehend or to grasp that which is obscure. Also, discernment can also be the ability to see truth. I would like you to say that with me. Discernment is the ability to see the truth. Come on, can you say like you have life in your body? It is the ability to see truth. Hallelujah. Also, the spiritual discernment is the ability to tell the difference between truth and error. Amen? It is the ability that is God-given for you to tell between truth and error. And I believe we have we've seen what discernment is. So if anybody asks you what discernment is, it is not like I've heard people say, like, you know, back in the day, you know, we would come there and people would say, you know, the spirit of discernment is showing me that there's a devil here. You know, that is not necessarily discernment. You may call that maybe a word of knowledge. Maybe the Lord spoke to you about it. But discernment is acquired. Are you listening to me? You know? Are you listening to me? It is acquired. And how do we acquire it? We are going to find out pretty soon. Now, why do Christians need discernment? Why do we, as the body of Christ, need discernment? Number one, I want you to write this down if you want to note it down, and then you can go read it back at home. Number one, Satan masquerades as an angel of light. Amen? Why do Christians need discernment? Our first point is this. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. We're going to check out in the Bible, in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11, 13 to 15. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11, 13 to 15. And if you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, you can check it out there. And I will read. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, distinguishing themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising that if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Amen? We are living in a time, I'd like you to listen to me, we are living in a time whereby there are people who camouflage themselves and they are so disguised that you would think, even by the way they talk, they would think that they are true prophets of the word of the Lord. But hear me very clearly, church, that we are living in a time whereby there are false prophets that have masqueraded themselves as messengers of truth. Praise the Lord. And we have to be very, very careful, because remember what I told you, that in the midst of obscurity, there's a tendency for us to know, there's a necessity for us to tell truth from error. In such an age whereby somebody comes and declares themselves as a Messiah, we need to be well equipped and to have the tools necessary to dig into the word of the Lord and understand what is this situation concerning this person who declares themselves as a Messiah. Amen? Just the other day, You know, for those of you who have this application called WhatsApp, you know, and I received a text, you know, or a clip and I hope you have also received of this person that has emanated, you know, I think he's from the South America, and he calls himself Antichrist, you know, and he's openly telling people that I am the Antichrist. Now, you as a church, what do you think about this clip when you received it? Whenever you receive a clip of a person declaring themselves that they're the Messiah, what do you need to know about that declaration? What do you need to respond to people when you receive such a message? What are you well equipped to know the word of God concerning that situation? Praise be to God. If you read in the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, and I would like just us to read, just a little bit, some of the things that we need to be well equipped even in these end times. Can we open up the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, beginning from verse number 4? I am not there, but if you have it, you can, Sister Lorraine can take us there. Matthew 24, and can you give us a few verses? Then Jesus replied to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you." Amen? There will be people who are ready and willing to deceive you. If we don't have spiritual antennas, we might be carried by any wave that comes or any movement that comes that disguises itself as a movement, as authentic movement of Christ. Amen? And we need to have the spirit of discernment to tell truth from error. Praise be to God. "For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Messiah.'" See, the word of God clearly says about it. Amen? So when you hear about people saying that I am Messiah, you should not be perturbed or be worried in your heart, because the Bible says that in the latter times, people will come and they will declare themselves as what? As the Messiah. And you know who the Messiah is? The Messiah is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen? The soon coming King. Praise be to God. "For many will come in my name saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will deceive many." Verse number 6. The Bible says this: "You are going to hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not alarmed." That's the word that I want you to check out on that. See that you're not done what? In other words, musiwe na wasiwasi. Don't get worried about these things, because they shall surely come. The Bible says, because these things must take place, but the end is not. Come on now, church. You will hear these things, but you will know that the Bible says that these things must take place. In other words, people will declare themselves as false messiah. So do not be worried when somebody says, "Oh, I am the Antichrist." What did the Bible say, speak about, you know, the Antichrist? By the way, we need to maybe have a time when we shall be teaching or learning and learning about the Antichrist, about the end times, so that we might be equipped. See, the Antichrist, when the Antichrist comes, he will be a world leader. I believe CNN and NBC or whatever network, Fox News, will be speaking highly of this leader. He will be a well-known, recognized world leader. Amen? So don't expect anybody coming just from a... There will be Antichrist, and that is expected. The word says there will be people who will be Antichrist. But when the main Antichrist comes, you can read that from the book of 1 Thessalonians and in the book of Revelation in Daniel chapter 9. We need to equip ourselves in these things, so that when these things come, we are not perturbed, or we are not worried, or we are not taken by surprise that somebody, "Oh, you know what? I think this is it now. This is the Antichrist." And people, and I'm not saying that we need to go ahead and, you know, say, "Oh, and take the mark 666. Do not allow anybody to put anything on your body, because it might be the number 666 might be disguised even as it's written on the Bible. You have to be very careful who you connect yourself with. Praise the Lord. So I wanted you to see that because these things must take place, but the end is not yet. Can we just see verse number 7, then we can continue. "For nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines, there will be earthquakes in various places." In other words, go home, read about, Matthew chapter 24 all the way. Tell the Lord to break it down in your spirit, so when these things come, you'll be well equipped and you'll not be taken for granted and you'll not be taken by surprise. You'll not be hoodwinked by the enemy, because the enemy is creeping in, and he is coming in like a rolling lion trying to roar and to scare people off from the main truth. Amen? Hallelujah. Let me tell you, church, when Jesus is in you, I told you last week that you've been redeemed of the Lord, that you've been justified. You're the righteousness of God. Your name is written in the hand of God. God knows you and he cares for you. And that's why he has revealed these truths to us, because we are sons of God. Amen? These things will never, let me tell you, no one, no believer should be taken by surprise when these things happen, because God has revealed these things to us. Why has God revealed these things to us? Because he loves us. Because he cares for you. He wants to prepare you. He doesn't want you to be hijacked. He doesn't want you to be taken for a ride. When the devil creeps in and tells you, oh, look what I've brought into the world. I am displaying the real Messiah. Tell him, I know my word and I will keep on doing my business, because the Bible tells me that these things must take place and the end is not come yet. Praise be to God. We have to be equipped in the word of the Lord. So, we are trying to answer, why do Christians need discernment? And we saw that Satan, number one, masquerades as an angel of light. There's going to be false doctrines. There's going to be people who are going to be teachings that are almost, when you look at them and the way they actually work. Have you ever listened to Oprah, the way she talks? You know, and the likes of Oprah, I'm talking about the way they can say, you know, there is articulative light that will come and flash into your heart, and you know what, and you feel some social goodness that really makes you feel good. You know, that they talk like you almost feel like, you know what, oh, you can even say hallelujah, thank you Jesus. Because the way they are talking is like with a soothing voice that almost resembles the voice of God. We need to be, let me tell you, you remember in the times of old when the disciples were moving, I think it must have been Peter and John, and they were preaching. And this person comes up there and says, oh, you need to listen to these people, you know, because they are sons of God. What did Peter do? He rebuked them. And the person wasn't speaking anything negative. He was saying, listen to these people. But what that message was coming from was coming from a corrupted heart. And Peter was able to note it, and he told him, get away, and I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Are we able to be in that position as children of God, well equipped, that we are able to tell the truth from error? God expects us to be in that position. When somebody says that he is this, and he's doing this, and he believes in that, you know that you're standing on a sure foundation, the foundation of Christ. Amen? Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And as we have read in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11, we saw that even his false prophets can be deceitful workers that would disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. So we need to be aware. That is why we need to have discernment. And then the second scripture that I would like us to check out is Paul speaking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 4. And you don't have to read this. You can check out when Sister Lorraine puts it on the screen. This is what the Bible says. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. See, the devil is the prince of this earth, and his main work is to blind the unbelievers, to prevent them from seeing the light of Christ. That's why sometimes when you declare the word of the Lord, or you're preaching, or you're praying, you know, in the mind of somebody who is ungenerated, somebody who is unbeliever, it's like you're out of your mind. It's like you're a psycho somebody. You're suffering from a brain mental disease, because they do not comprehend the truth. And that's why the Bible says that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing, but the power of God to those who know Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We need to know what the word of God says concerning pertinent things relating to our faith. Praise be to God. And number two, why do Christians need spiritual discernment? And this is the second point that I found out. Spiritual truth isn't clear-cut plain. It is obscure and hidden in the natural mind. And I read this to you when we started, you know, speaking about this topic. Now, there's a writer, Tim Challis, he says in a book that he has written, that in a world where truth is downplayed and ambiguity is embraced, discernment is indispensable to an active and engaged Christian faith. Amen? In a world whereby truth is trampled down, people disregard the truth. You know, you talk about homosexuality is now being embraced even by ministers who are well salted. They are kind of like having a debate, and they're almost arguing for that God would accept, you know, some form of homosexuality to be accepted in the church, and that there would even be ordained ministers. It is baffling that the truth has been trampled upon and be disregarded, you know. But let me tell you truth. Truth will ever and always will remain to be truth. And you can crush truth, but truth will never be disseminated from the earth. Truth can be trampled upon. But let me tell you, after all is said and done, truth will rise up slowly, because truth is the word of God. And it will stand on its feet. Amen. You stand on the truth. You cannot be moved when you stand on the side of truth. When you support God, because God is truth himself. And when you stand in the side of truth, you can never be moved. It doesn't matter what other people are saying. It doesn't matter what churches do. It doesn't matter what other people want to believe. But we choose to believe the word of God. Amen. Praise be to God. Spiritual truth isn't clear-cut plain. And it is obscure and hidden to the natural mind. Jesus speaking to his disciples about the Pharisees in Matthew 13, verse number 11. This is what he said. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Praise the Lord. To you, the church, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. What a privilege, church. Think about it. That to us, the church, to us, the body of Christ, it has been given the ability to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Think about it. That God, that if only we can stand before the Lord, you have been given authority. You have been given a stature to stand before the Lord. And you don't have to go through somebody in order to get information from the heart of God. All you need to do, Lord, is to say, Lord, here I am. I need to know things pertaining the kingdom of God. And he will dispatch his spirit into his heart and bring and fish out the necessary gems that are necessary for your life and for your destiny and for your purpose here on earth. Amen? In God, there is unlimited resource. And I believe there is resource for everybody. And I believe not every resource is necessary for everybody. But there's particular tailor-made resources for your heart. Glory to Jesus. That means when I'm in trouble, I can go to God and tell him, God, this thing is obscure. I don't even understand why I'm going through this thing. I need some information. I need you to tell me. Link me up with a glorious person that you are prepared to come and download some stuff. I need clarity in what I'm going through. And when you speak that, the Spirit of God is dispatched immediately into the heart of God. It's enabled to fish out necessary gems that are necessary for your things. Amen. There is a tailor-made package for each and every individual. The Bible, Jesus said to us, and he said this, you lack because you ask not. Hallelujah. Jesus said that because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven are open, have been opened to everyone who has been baptized in the body of Christ. You ask not because you lack because you ask not. So in other words, Jesus saying that I have in me, I have everything that pertains your growth. I have everything that pertains your children. I have everything that pertains your family. I have everything that pertains your life. I have everything that pertains your destiny. I know 5 years down the road how it's going to end up, but you may not know. But if you want to know, you can ask of me. And I will show you. I will link you up. You may not really have a clear-cut dimension and the ins and outs of how it's going to end up. You might not even know whether you're going to pass through I-70 or I-35 or I-75. But you know what? When you ask God, God can create a way in an oasis, and you might be passing through a hard desert place, but God is getting you there. Why? Because he knows your life. He knows because you asked him. I want you to arrive at destination, you know, destination Richardson. Let me tell you, God might take you through DeSoto. God might take you through Sunnyvale. But at the end of the day, you find yourself in Richardson. That is the God that I serve. And when I'm in DeSoto, I might be wondering, God, I thought I told you that I wanted to go to Richardson. But God knows your way. He knows every way. He knows what you might encounter. Because if, as for me, I might have decided to pass through Addison, and I know if I can follow Beltline, I will end up in Richardson. But God sees some demons and agents and people who are going to confuse your journey along Addison. And he says, I want you to take I-35, go down to DeSoto, take I-20 all the way to 635 around and come down on 75 and you find yourself in Richardson. That is the God that we serve. He knows your plan. He knows your future. He knows everything. Amen? This is the reason why we need to have discernment, because when we go, we might stumble. We might go in our knowledge and we might stumble. We might hit a rock. But when God is directing us, we know that He is leading us. Oh, Jesus, I know that when I ask Him to lead me, He is leading me in paths of righteousness. Even when I'm almost feeling like I'm dying, He is there with me. Glory be to God. Amen. I love God. God is so sweet, church. When you walk with God and you know how He does things, sometimes He might be whipping you on your ear, you know, just because maybe I disobeyed Him. But even when He's whooping me, I'm saying, Father, go ahead, whoop me. It's not very interesting and I might be crying. But I know the next day He will be embracing me and loving me. Oh, son, I love you. Yeah. Isn't that what we do with our children? You whoop them. You know, you... Where, Jeremy? Nikki, why did you do this? Oh, son, I love you. You know, I love you. That's what we do, even to our children. The same way with God. He does that because in fact, the Bible says he chastises those that He loves. Do not neglect. Don't think that God is keeping off from you because just you're being warped. You know when you will know when you're being warped by God. You know? Does your child know when you're warping them? Oh, they're thinking that you're playing. When you take the switch or take that mukwa or mshipi, don't you do like this? Come here. They know that you're in trouble. But that child, after a few minutes, you'll be embracing them and kissing them and loving them. Amen. That's a God that we serve. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 7. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden. We are talking about why we need spiritual discernment. And this is what Paul writes to the Corinthians. And I believe he is also talking to us. And this is what he says. No, we declare God's wisdom a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time. None of the rulers of this age understood it. Praise be to God. None of the rulers of this age understand it. And I would say this clearly and without any hesitation, that most of the leaders of the world may not really understand about the goodness of God. Amen? For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So in other words, this mystery, the word of God, the nuggets, the principles, has been hidden. And that God destined it for our glory before time. In other words, God has revealed it to us. That's why we need discernment. Now, the last part of why we need to have spiritual discernment is found in the book of 1 Corinthians, again, chapter number 2, verse number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 14. Spiritual things can only be spiritually discerned. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. Amen? Why do we need discernment? We need discernment because we need to trust the Spirit of God to help us understand the mind of God. Amen? The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness. Amen? We don't want to read the Word of God and it doesn't make any sense. We need discernment to see it and to tell so that it can tell us what the Bible talks about regarding the area in which we are praying to the Lord concerning. Amen? Now, and I come to the third portion of of our message this morning. And how can Christians acquire spiritual discernment? How can you acquire spiritual discernment? We've seen what spiritual discernment is. We've seen why we really need it. Now let us ask ourselves, how can we acquire spiritual discernment? Now, it's very, very important for us to know there's a difference between how the world receives knowledge and how God expects his knowledge to be disseminated across the face of the earth. In the natural realm, people study books and they study materials so that they can acquire knowledge. And out of that knowledge, they're able to make judgment concerning certain things in their lives, right? And I'm not saying that is wrong. It is good. That's why you go to school. That's why you have to go for 1 year or 2 years or whatever number of years you have to go to practice in the career that you're doing right now, so that when a patient, for example, if you're in a nursing career, you know, you spend maybe 1 year, 2 years, and you spend 4 years, so that you know how things are done. You know, you can take care of a patient, right? You learn the etiquettes of dealing with a patient, not to harass them. Can you imagine if just people go and apply somewhere and you say, I want to be a nurse, and they'll go, okay, come tomorrow, and you're given a scalpel, you know, to go and operate. You'll be killing people every day, you know? You would not even know where to begin, right? So you use your knowledge to make judgment of how you need to administer treatment to the people that you're taking care of. Why? Because you already have the knowledge. But see, that's how the world system deals with discernment. Because, you know, discernment is nothing else but wisdom and knowledge that you acquire from some source. But in this Christian circle, it is different because God has revealed it to the body of Christ. Amen? And you don't have to be educated. And that's why the Bible says that, you know, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those that are perishing. Anyone who comes to God and opens up their hearts to the Lord, they open themselves to the knowledge, and the Spirit of the Lord is able to download information into their lives. Amen? And that is done through the relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. And I thank God. Amen. So you can find anybody who is born again who can speak oracles because of what the operations of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Amen. And God expects that information. The information, in other words, knowledge and wisdom to discern things comes from God. Amen. I'll say it again. The wisdom and the knowledge to make judgment that concern certain things in your life can only come from God. I'll say it again so that to this side, maybe this side is willing maybe to listen to what I'm saying. The wisdom and the judgment that concern pertinent things in your life can only come from God. Amen. Thank you. It can only come from God. I can tell you something, but it doesn't mean that I might be 50%, you know. I might look, you know, Pastor Chi might come to me and tell me, Pastor, what do you think I might do on this thing? You know, I can pray and I can think and I can only tell him what I'm thinking and what maybe God helped me, and I'm not even sure that God told me to tell him concerning those things. Amen? And so he might apply himself to the knowledge that I gave him, but see, he is only going with probably 50 or 40% of what is authentic and what he needs. But when you come to God and you tell him, God, I need you to tell me how this thing is going to end up. I need to get to Richardson. You know what? You be sure that God will give you 100% of what you need. No error. Not even a speck of error. And you'll have the confidence. Even when he takes you through the desert, you will be sustained by the word that you heard from the Lord. You know, I am going through this. I don't even understand. I have found myself in Shreveport, but I wanted to be in Richardson. But God said, I will keep going. I have found myself in another city, but I wanted to be in Texas. But I heard God told me, I will keep going. You know what? Eventually, even without you being away, you'll find yourself in Richardson. And you might actually have forgotten that you had asked the Lord to bring you to Richardson. Let me tell you, there are certain things that we do, and we told God and we forgot about them. And God did those things, and you even forgot that you had prayed some time for God to fulfill those things in your life. And then, but sometimes God will make you remember while you're on it, and maybe you're stuck on it, and you're enjoying the favor of the answer God's answer in your life, and you might, you remember in 2004, I had prayed that God gives me a Nissan Maxima. And I forgot about it. And now I have found this guy. I have enjoyed this Maxima for even two months, and I forgot about it. You know? And before you got the Maxima, maybe you had like a tuk-tuk. It was really throwing moshi until maybe you get tickets from the policeman. But God, in his mercies, he gave you that Maxima, and you forgot about it. God will never forget what you answer him. You know, somebody told me this, and I'm almost concluding. Somebody told me this. He told me that the prayers you pray, like akiba, you know, in Kikuyu they call them modhidho. I don't know how to say modhidho in Kikuyu, but they say it's like, yeah, deposit. It's like a deposit. This I was told when I was a young boy, and this lady came, was testifying. She said that the prayers you pray, God stores them somewhere. In fact, if you read in the book of Revelations, the Bible says, and I think I told you this one time, that the elders, the 24 elders, as they bow down before the presence of the Lord, they have little bottles. They have little bottles, right? Bottles, you know? And in those bottles, they have the prayers of the saints. Think about it. Think about it. So every prayer that you have ever asked God is somewhere being held by the 24 elders. I don't know even how many bottles they can hold, because I believe the prayers of the saints. But anyway, I don't even want to imagine, because, you know, one bottle can maybe contain the prayers of the whole continent. Amen? But as they go before the throne of God, as they say, holy, 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 the one that is, the one that was, and the one that is to come. Holy, 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 holy. We worship you, God. They are bowing down with the prayers that you prayed two years ago. Let me tell you, how do you think that angelic beings worshiping the maker of the whole planet and the whole universe can be bowing down before him, worshiping him and glorifying him, holding the bottles that contain your prayers? How do you think those prayers can go unanswered? How do you think? It might take a day, it might take even a year, but God will never forget. Amen? Along the way, things might meander, and you might think even God forgot about you. But he doesn't forget. If you don't go with anything out of this service today, remember that God will never forget anything you tell him. As long as you stand in his presence, he remembers and he knows. Amen? Amen? Glory be to Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So when you go to God, what happens is, because God has everything that you need, and when you tell him, you talk to him about what you need, this is what happens. And I believe, I'm just thinking, you know, panoramically, I'm thinking that the Lord tells this, his Pastor Francis needs A, B, and C. So get inside of me and really be specific. Fish out the things that he needs. Dispatch them and put him in his spirit. So that when the moment you pray, God will begin to give you clarity. He'll make those things that are obscure clear, and you're able to gain understanding of how you need to articulate some things. Amen? Prayer is powerful. Proverbs 1. Wisdom here is personified in description of someone that we can get to know. You know, the Bible talks about wisdom, and here we are talking about the discernment. The discernment, you know, for you to have the spirit of discernment is nothing else than the wisdom of God and the ability to comprehend and to grasp truth. Amen? So for you to have this ability that we are talking about is nothing else but wisdom from God. It's nothing else but knowledge from the Lord. Amen? And here in the book of Proverbs chapter number 1, the Bible is telling us that wisdom is like a person. You know, Proverbs personifies wisdom. And it describes it as someone we can get to know. Amen. Paul again in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter number 30. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 verse 30. Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. Amen. The Bible calls Jesus the wisdom from God. Amen. Therefore, wisdom or spiritual discernment is something that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Amen. Amen. Let's read the last book, Hebrews chapter number 5, verse number 14. Hebrews chapter number 5, verse number 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And I told you, how do you receive the power of discernment? It is acquired. And how do you acquire it? It is by practicing it. By practicing it, by practicing. You practice by reading the word of the Lord, and you're able to use the word of the Lord as a prime line concerning things that you receive day in, day out. In other words, everything might look good, but it may not be the right thing for you. In any given day, you're going to encounter things that when you look at them, they are good. They might be in terms of ideas. Somebody might give you a very good idea and you say, I can make $1 million just doing this, but it may not really be the right thing for you. Are you listening to me? Not everything that looks good is right for you. So in order for us to determine what you need to jump on, we need the power of God. We need the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, so that it can tell us what is right thing for us. It may be good, but not necessarily right for you. Hello? Every single day, you're going to encounter those things. You know? It might be business ventures. When somebody tells them, let me tell you, I've encountered many people that tell me, oh, pastor, if you get on this, within 3 months, you're going to be a millionaire. Oh, man, now you look at it. And then what is involved? Oh, you got to meet with Slaughter, tell him about this, and, you know, he's going to do this, and he's going to tell somebody else, and, you know. It's not bad. It's a good idea. But as for me personally, when I gauge it, it may not be the right thing for me. It might be right for Slaughter. It might be the right thing for James. It might be the right thing for Pastor Chi or Pastor Francis. But I feel it may not be the right thing for me. Those things will come out of practice. When you pray to God, He'll be able to make you know. Amen? I had a story of a guy who loved this girl. Back in the day, and you know the way, you know, when you're growing up, you know, there are people who come to you for counsel. And this guy comes and tells me, oh, pastor, I really love this girl. I say, okay, have you prayed about it? And he said, yeah, I'm praying, and I'm thinking, man, I'm just looking at the way she looks at me. I feel like a chill passes through the front of my vertebrae to the bottom of my, you know, the last vertebrae, and I feel, actually, as he was talking to me, you could see him shake, you know. There was like this, some sluttering of some speech because of how she was really sold out and carried out by this girl. And he was like, this girl is so gorgeous, she's so beautiful. Oh my God, yeah. Have you prayed about it? So I told him, pray about it. And every time, you know, we would meet, everything he's telling me is about this girl, until I said, God. And we were brothers. Then as he continued to pray, He prayed. And the next thing, about a month, I can't remember the time, but it was about some time past, you know. And he came and told me, actually, listen, this is true. This is a true story. He came and told me, pastor, remember this girl that I've been telling you? Man, I looked at her toes. Just think about this. The story came from, oh my God, I can't even sleep, and I'm shaking and I'm startling. But I just looked at one of her toes. And then I said, what does the toe has to do with this person, you loving this person? Let me tell you. It is not that the toe was a problem. I don't believe the toe was a problem. Because it can be vice versa. You know, there's this woman who can love this guy and everything. I like the way he cuts his hair. I like the way he's muscular. I like the way he's a go-getter. But you wake up one morning and you realize that one of his ear is really like, you know, like, what do we call it? Okay, you said it. Let me tell you, church, it is not the ear. The ear is not the problem. But God sees the future. And he is able to perceive and see this guy is probably going to be a problem to this woman. The destiny that I have for Sister Charity was not meant to be with a guy called Joel or somebody, but it was meant to be with a man called Julius. I don't even know why I say that. It is not a problem with the ear, fage, or whatever you say. It is not a problem even with a toe. But God sees the future. The thing is this, when you pray, God has your destiny in mind. And he wants to connect you with the things that will propel you to the right destination quickly. Not somebody who will hold you every time you want to go. It's like you're going and you're going and you're being pulled behind. You know, there are people who are like that. Even not even husband and wife. There are people who you engage with, even your friends, and you want to make a move and they pull you. You are making 5 steps and you're making 3 steps back. So what is your gain? 2 steps. 3 of your steps are wasted. Energy. Uli sweat, uli cooler. You have wasted it. There are people like that. I need somebody, when they join me, they will actually jump me, cause me to jump. I'll be jumping. They will have enough strength that they will cause me to jump. In other words, I'll keep one step. You know, they tell me a word and I feel, oh God, I wish I knew that 1 year ago. So I jump. Are you listening to me? Stand on your feet. We want to conclude our service. Some things I tell you, I don't even know. I didn't even prepare them. But I don't even know why I tell them to you. But it is the truth. Just like the brother who looked at the toe of that sister and he loved him and he was, you know, he had this thing, oh God, I can't sleep. But one morning he came to me, Pastor, this girl, I've been telling you, the toe. And now I'm not even looking at the Coca-Cola, I'm not looking at the beauty, but the toe. But just because you prayed. The toe might be maybe an adventure or a venture that you're venturing in right now. It looks good before the eye. When you look at it, humanly speaking, it's a good venture. You can make money. You can even soar up. But I want you to know that God has your destiny in mind. God will never increase you to a point where you depart from his presence. You're looking at this miracle and you're saying, oh God, I can make thousands and thousands and I can be the chief, the guy who, you know, the guy what the name here in Dallas. But God cares for your soul so much. Amen? And he knows the moment I bless this guy with all this money, that is the last time I'll see him in my house. So you know what God will cause you to see? The toe. He will see the toe. What is this business I've been thinking about? Huh? You hear even people now who have been conned. And you say, I'm not the next one to be in the statistics of being conned. The toe. Because you prayed. He cares for you more. He cares for me, for you. And he loves you so much that he wouldn't want you to lose your eternal life. Amen? Hold the hand of the person standing next to you. Father, in the name of Jesus, there was not a time in the history of this earth when we needed discernment as this time. Father, the marketplace is filled up with people who masquerade as angels of light, agents of light. People who will speak so smoothly to entice us into the teaching of demons. I pray that, Father God, we shall stand firm on your sure foundation because you're the source of everything that we need. There's nothing in your heart that we need that is not there. And we don't need any other source. All we need is you. Lead and guide and direct each one of us. If there be anybody right now who is seeing the beauty of this venture that they are in, and this probably is not your will, Lord, I pray that you shall shake them up. Shake them up. Shake them up, Lord, and cause them to see the bad toe in the name of Jesus. But for those that have sought you and you have shown them the dream and you have shown them the vision and you've really displayed your oracle to them, Father God, give them the strength to persevere. And to go until this thing is done. And at the end of the day, you'll be glorified. There are people in this congregation that have needs, Lord. Spiritual needs that cannot be mentioned to anybody. But only you, Lord, know. As you have told us, Lord, who knows the heart of a man except a man and God himself. They are willing to surrender those things, O Father. So that you can spare them the whopping. Lord, let them surrender it right now. Right now. Right now in the name of Jesus. We forgive those who have transgressed against us in the name of Jesus. We want to be in the right standing with you. Be glorified in our lives. You might be here never giving your life to Jesus. And you're saying, Pastor, I'm willing to surrender my life to the Lord. For too long a time I've lived without this Jesus. There's no way you can have the spirit of discernment unless you have a relationship with him. Because the Bible says that to you have been opened up the knowledge of the kingdom. It is not hidden anymore to those who are in Christ Jesus. But to you who is not in him, that knowledge is not opened up to you. Lift up your hand. I want to pray with you. And I want to pray that Jesus gets into your heart, that you may start a relationship this day in the name of Jesus. Is there anyone? Amen. You might be here. You know somebody who is sick in their bodies, or somebody who needs a miracle. Somebody, or it might be you. Lift up your hand. We're going to pray together right now in the name of Jesus. Anybody who needs a touch from the Lord, lift up. You need something specific from the Lord, lift it up, your hand up in the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, see those hands. They have specific needs and they needed that help now. Holy Spirit of the living God, fish out those gems that they need even from the heart of God and dispatch those blessings to them, Lord, right now. In the name of Jesus. Let obscurity be made clear in the name of Jesus. Let those things that are blurry, Father God, bring clarity in their lives in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, because you're going to smile to them tonight in the name of Jesus as they articulate and as they look upon you, you the source and the ruler of their hearts. We give you praise. We give you glory. Father, I want to commit this church family to you. Thank you, Father, for their commitment, O Lord. Thank you, Father, for their diligence. Thank you, Father, for the zeal of the house of God. I pray that none of them, Lord, will be led astray. Even those that never made it to church, I pray specifically for them, Lord, that your strength will abide in their hearts now and even in days to come as we sojourn in the Lord. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Somebody who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. Give him a hand of praise, Pastor Julie.